This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. With me, to my right, Jake. He has a penchant for the dark side and knows 10 fun facts about the human anus. You can find him on social media. Should we start over? I fucking lost it. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your host. To my right is Jake. You can find him on social media at the McAxel. He's got a penchant for the dark side and knows 10 fun facts about the human anus.
I sure do. Yeah, I dug around and found 10 great facts.
You dug around.
I dug around.
Yeah, so this is homework you did.
It is. It is. Field work. But yeah, either way, same thing. To my left is Trav at Trav Plays Games on the social media. And he is has a penchant for the gray side because he's very much a fence straddler and doesn't really get involved in much things. And he also thinks that Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
I don't know enough about either.
There we
to
go.
Make an assertion.
There we go. See? Fence straddler. Point proven. All right. Welcome to Polykill. This is how we do it.
Yes, yes. Now, if you are new to our show, you heard the lady. We basically just try to play video. We're adult men, and we try to play some video games, but there's a lot of things that get in the way. Work, school,
life.
Our wives, you know. Yeah. Just getting in the way.
Get out of the way, wife.
Yes. So, I mean, we love them, but we also would rather play video games than be around them. So, that's what this show is all about, the adventures and trying to mend our marriage. No, right. I'm not being serious.
No, we love them.
We do. I feel like now we have to convince everybody that we do. We do. Those were jokes. Right. But anyway, that's the show. So, we have a couple announcements. Number one. We're finally on Spotify.
On Spotify.
That's great.
That's wild.
That's going to be a boon.
Now, yeah, I hope so.
I'm looking at the six of you that's already listening to us on Spotify. I want to say thank you to those people.
Yeah, thank you.
Those are great. Now, if we can get a few more, that would be also cool.
Yeah,
so tell a friend.
Shout out to Brian and David.
Yeah. Thanks to you, Brian and David and whoever else is out there.
I'm going to guess a Kenneth.
A Kenneth?
I feel like a Kenneth is
listening. An Evan. There's certainly an Evan.
Maybe a Dylan?
A Marie, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, thanks to anybody that checked us out. If you would like to refer Polykill, refer them via Spotify or whatever podcast service that you like to listen to. We're on all of them, I do believe.
Sub.
Also, the second thing is we're doing a contest.
Doing a contest.
Now, you can find the contest details in Twitter, but to rehash them here, you can take our faces and Photoshop them on things. Someone pointed out, like, we can't really Photoshop your face because there's microphones in front of them. Well, later in the show, if you would watch us on YouTube, we're going to get away from the microphones, and during the previously on segment, we're going to dance around with our faces just full frontal.
Yeah,
free and clear. So you'll be able to extract our faces and then slap them on memes and so forth. Now, why would you do this? Well, do you like $60? Because games are worth that much. Do you like t-shirts? Do you like coffee mugs? That's what's at stake here. So if you can do that, we'll pick our favorites here in a month or so, early January, and we'll announce the winner there, and you'll win some stuff. You'll win a chance. You'll win a game. We can send you the game you want if that's what you'd rather do, and we'll do it that way. So send those in via Twitter. Use the hashtag PolykillContest and include your image and be funny with it. Get wild, and I hope several of you enter. Otherwise, we will look like a bunch of schmucks if Derek's the only one that submits anything. But so far, his are really good.
All right.
Then next week, we are recording Off Kilter 13.
Wild.
Close calls.
So, like, if you've nearly had something amazing or awful or scary or something interesting nearly happened to you. That's what we're looking for.
Yes, I have a few, some harrowing escapes from death and abductions and those type things, and also just almost shitting my pants after a rough Mexican restaurant experience. So,
boy, yeah.
So the close calls, I mean, what I'm trying to say is they range. They don't have to be so life and death. They can also be the difference between getting a job, not getting a job, going on a date with somebody weird, not doing that, whatever.
Right, sitting on a bench and realizing 10 years later that Tom Hanks is on that bench.
I don't know if that's a close call, but
it's real close in terms of like dog years.
It's a call for sure. So send those in to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Now let's get to the meat of the business. That's enough of the upfront business. Let's get into the meat business.
The business meat.
Recent pickups and on the radar. I picked up a couple games. One game that I didn't really pick up, I was given a code for. Our dear friend Frankie.
Frankie, you haven't given me a code.
Well, he asked which one of us did not have Cuphead, and I happen to be that one.
Well, I don't have. Okay. I was trying to think of a game I don't have. Okay.
Right. So he sent me the code for Cuphead, and I entered it in and downloaded it there on the Xbox. Thank you, Frankie. He's from the Short Paws podcast.
Short Paw.
And
Little dog feet that are not as tall as others.
Small dog feet.
Yes.
And been playing that. So I'll get into that a little bit later, but I do now am a proud owner of Cuphead. And also was able to pick up Fatal Frame 2 on the PS2, a sequel to a game that Brian and I were too shitty to finish.
Right. You bailed on it, but you heard the second one was better, so this might be one down the line, because now we have a three-way menage a bro lined up for some Evil Within, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be happening soon. I'm looking forward to finally playing that game, and then doing, like you said, the menage a bro. I've always bro-opped. I've never menage a bro'd, and so I'm excited to see how that works.
We'll get into it. I'll share some of those facts about the human ani.
What about you? What have you grabbed?
I have grabbed two things in particular, and I think I covered one, but I'm going to mention it real quick. I don't remember if I brought it up on the previous podcast, and that is Fire Emblem Warriors. Did I bring that up last time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I got Fire Emblem Warriors on the Nintendo Switch, P1 of the Cartridge Club. I know you're playing. We are now friends with one another on the old Switch Rooski, and I will be joining you very soon on Fire Emblem Warriors. But anyway, in the past duration between podcasts, I've picked up a couple of games, most notably Overcooked on the Switch. I feel like that's a perfect Switch game, and I really want to play it with some people, so I'm excited about doing that. Do you know anything about this game?
Burnt Toast?
Sure.
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
It's just like a really simple game where you manage a kitchen and try to save the world at the same time.
Sounds like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is. It's apparently hilarious to play, and it looks hilarious, and I've already dabbled a little bit in the single player, but this is definitely a multiplayer game, couch co-op. It's like a cooperative game, but also you kind of get in each other's way, so it's hilarious and frustrating.
Gotcha. Okay.
And also picked up a biggin in terms of gaming landscape, and that is Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, or PUBG as it's referred to, on the Xbox One X. Now there's some things about this that I'll talk about later, but I'm a proud owner and I'm enjoying it.
Well, good. That's good. So those are some games that we picked up. So, we typically during this section, we'll talk about games that are on the radar, games coming out in the next 2 weeks in between shows that we want to pick up. Not a lot going on during Christmas.
Not a lot. Boring. Slow.
So we got nothing. But there are some notable announcements in terms of game releases, and that is Far Cry 5, Ni No Kuni, and Crew 2 have all been slightly delayed.
Slightly delayed.
I think a month. Is it a month for all of them?
About a month out for all of them, yeah.
That's not too bad.
They're trying to move out of range of maybe something big landing in February.
Like a Red Dead, you think? Maybe. But perhaps that, or maybe to remove all the loot boxes, or just to add a little spit shine to it. You know, it's never a bad thing.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right, well, we're moving on pretty quick here. Let's go ahead and talk about what happened last time.
Let us dig in.
Previously on Polykill. Last episode, JD from the Play and Listen podcast joined the show to take part in the shenanigans. Super Mario cereal and the craze of Black Friday was all the talk in the hot jakes. Everybody beat some games, including Wolfenstein Old Blood, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Dishonored 2. Dragon Age Inquisition and Assassin's Creed Origins get a little play before JD shares how the Plan Listen podcast got started for the topic of this guy. Ush.
And we're back.
We're back.
We hope you saw all of our facial expressions there during the previously on.
Sure.
Be sure to check our video out on YouTube if you have not. We tried to get wild with it there, so
we did.
Pause it, take a screen cap, take our face, throw it on something wild, make us laugh, earn a free game. It's that easy. Last time we had JD on. What a fun dude. I had a lot of fun with him.
Oh, it was a great episode. Went back and listened to that one, and real proud of it. Turned out great, sounded great. It was a good time.
Yeah, he rolls with the punches. He's fortunately
punch roller. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the few folks that have listened to us for a long, long time, and so he's in on all the shtick. And it was great having him on. And looking forward to collaborating with him on his podcast some, too. So
agreed.
Nice little marriage here. Play and Listen and Polykill. So that was fun. So we're not going to do any hot jakes this time around because there's just not any news around the holidays.
Not a lot going on. I mean, basically everything shifted to Star Wars news or just the same old, you know, hating on EA. And I'm not going to rehash that and bring all that negativity into the podcast. We're just going to bypass that. And if something newsworthy comes out next time, then we'll cover it.
Newsworthy.
Like said worthy. Newsworthy.
I think you said noseworthy.
Well, that's a great last name.
Worthy of the nose. So let's just jump right into games that we've completed and we're retired. Now this is a section usually where Jake just leaves the room because he never beats any games. Jake, prove me wrong.
I'm perfect.
Oh, God. You didn't beat any games.
I didn't beat any games. You know, I've got the same old excuses that I normally do. Life has been hell, and...
Do you even care anymore?
No, I do. Like, I'm trying. Like, I'm putting in time.
You got a Switch. I thought this would open up a whole window of opportunity to game more often.
Well, I mean, I still require a certain amount of mental faculty to complete games, and I just haven't had that.
Well, that's okay. I did beat some games.
Yeah, you did.
Three of which, you know.
You went cruising is what you did, fam.
Maybe I'm proud of, maybe I'm not proud of, but and one that I was pretty happy to finally beat. So let's start with Madden 18, long shot campaign. Now, let's talk about it a little bit here.
This is the story mode that people have been implementing into their sports games as of late to kind of breathe new life into sports games to attract those more narrative-driven players over to that side.
Something that we talked about during our sports episode a couple episodes back was like, yeah, this will help us. This will help us, you know, get some interest because it's sort of a role-playing aspect or at least a story mode, something that
some kind of personal buy-in.
Yeah, it's something that's unique from iteration to iteration. You know, it's not just rosters and jersey colors. So this was a neat idea, and I was happy that it was implemented in there, but I think it fell short in a lot of ways. The story itself is almost like a 14-year-old's fever dream for how to reach the NFL. It's very, very strange. I did not like the premise. I appreciated the uniqueness. I'm glad they thought outside the box. They didn't just, you know, go for the cookie cutter. You're in college, you play football, you go to the draft, you get drafted. They could have gone that way.
Right.
Could have been
fine.
But the way they did it, they made it like a reality show type situation, and they tried to fit in a lot of these tasks or tests that would somehow prove that you were worthy of the NFL, and they fell short for me because there's a lot of quick time events and there was a lot of restriction in what you could do. There wasn't a whole lot of
sort of boxed you in,
not a lot of forks in the narrative. Everything pretty much led to the same same ending, and I mean, it's very pretty. EA did a great job with it. I think they put a lot of care into it. It wasn't something that I loved. And it was only maybe 5 hours or so, so it's pretty short. Which is okay, I guess. Lengthwise, I wasn't too hurt by it, but overall, I didn't love it. And then at the end of it, the payoff I think is what is most bothersome. In that there's no easy way to take your player that you end up with at the end of your story and actually fit them into your Madden game.
That's lame.
Yeah,
I feel like that should be like the goal, right?
Well, there's no like smooth transition for it. So I talked to some people because I wanted to make sure I was right about this. I'm like, can you do this? And they're like, yeah, you got to do a thing and put them into a created character mode and do all this. Like, I just wanted the thing to seamlessly sort of go from the end
and
start me in. I thought
transition.
That would be perfect, but it doesn't do that. So
that's weird.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about it because I think for me being a sports fan and I think my opinion of it is maybe more harsh than like, if you were trying to get into Madden or maybe you didn't care so much about the story, you could still enjoy the campaign. Like, I'm not saying it's bad.
Right.
It wasn't for me, I don't think. So
okay.
That's my feelings on Madden 18. What
you got some feelings.
What you gonna do about it?
What you gonna do?
Then I went cruising.
You did go cruising.
I went cruising. You know, I felt racy.
Where
I don't
did
mean
you start
it,
cruising?
I don't mean it that way. I felt like racing a car, you know.
Or driving a fast car.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tracy Chapman.
There you go. Is that male or female?
Oh, it's female.
It's female. I always get confused on that. Cruisin' USA, Cruisin' World were the two games that I beat. I also tried Cruisin' Exotica, the triumvirate there on the Nintendo 64. Cruisin' Exotica, not easy. Very, very difficult. The other two, pretty simple, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
I remember playing those games.
Hour or two, maybe?
Right. Maybe not even that, honestly. But you know, you can zip through those pretty quick and of course unlock some cars and do the races and I think it's neat in Cruisin' USA how you start in like LA and you kind of go through, you know, you do some Death Valley and that kind of thing, and then in between like Arizona and Chicago. There are like no races. They just skip you up. I'm like, there are places in between there.
Yeah, there's a road. I'm sure of it.
So, yeah. But anyway, it was pretty fun. Nice. I hadn't played through it. I think I might have beaten it growing up, but I couldn't remember. Mm. So, yeah, playing through it was fun. Cruising World's fun, though. You end up on the moon.
What?
That's not Cruising World.
That's I know. Cruising Solar System.
I agree with you there. Yeah, Cruising Lunar. Sure. Yeah. But yeah, both of them, pretty fun. I mean, what are you going to do? Pretty good. Cool. And then lastly, Cold Fear.
Cold Fear, and this is one that you've been bro-upping with Briz.
Yeah. Yeah, finally finished
this
that.
Is
put
your follow-up to Resident Evil 7?
Yeah.
In terms of your bro-op adventures in the horror genre?
Right. I mean, there's no link between the two, but we did play it. No, actually, it's very similar to Resident Evil 4, and I think that's why this game catches a lot of flack, is because it's almost like a straight rip-off of Resident Evil 4, and then not as good as. But I think it was still fun. I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty strong game. I read a little bit about it after the fact, and there were plans to make a movie out of this game, but it only sold 70,000 copies, so then they just dropped it. Also, Marilyn Manson, there's one song that's licensed in the whole game, and it's a song by Marilyn Manson. I can't remember what it's called, but during the credits, it plays on repeat like 6 times. Like, it's the only only song that they had in the whole game. All in all, I mean, it was decent. I don't think it's really worth anyone's time to go out of the way to play it.
Gotcha.
The fact that it only has sold 70,000 copies makes me think it might be a rarity at some point.
Sure.
I doubt it. I don't know.
There's probably not a lot of them out there. They're probably, yeah.
You know, I don't know how valuable it could be. I don't know if people will really go after collecting original Xbox games.
Right.
The way they have some other stuff. But I don't know. Whatever. I mean, play it. And if you got it,
give it a shot.
It's decent, but nothing you should go out your way for. So, since you didn't beat any games, and I beat a few games,
right?
And not to rub that in, but you didn't beat any games.
All right, I didn't.
We're going to take it into the hashtag, just beat it, beat it,
beat it, beat it.
Gang, gang, gang. That was my Michael Jackson impersonation. Just beat it. So if you beat a game, you take a picture of it or save a screenshot, put it on Twitter, use the hashtag just beat it, and then we will find that hashtag.
Mm.
It's also sometimes good if you tag us because it's easier for us to find. And then we will take what you've beaten, twist them into funny little ad libs, and put them right here on the show. And it helps us take up about 10 minutes of the show, which we need to do.
Right.
So
we're short on content.
We are. Let's kick it off here. All right, so JD at Play and Listen, who was recently a guest on this podcast and has the kind of voice that would make Barry White jealous, finished Breath of the Wild DLC Champion's Ballad.
All right, Monkey Girl at Colette Love finished Caladrius Blaze, a game that shares a name with some weed so dank, Monkey Girl said it gave her sexy dreams of Fred Durst.
Fred Durst, you say?
Sexy dreams.
Huh. What are your thoughts on Fred Durst? Is he sexy?
No one knows what it's like.
No one knows what it's like to be Fred Durst.
Yeah, I hate him.
You hate him?
Oh, yeah, he's an idiot.
He's got that red hat. It was a real signature.
Signature, and there you are wearing one.
So. Oh, shit, I am wearing a red hat. I am Fred Durst. Cool.
Yeah.
Catherine at K_song, who thinks sweaty belly buttons stink of hot cheese.
Oh, shit.
Finished Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy, and I agree. I think belly buttons, they're odorous.
Oh, yeah, don't go in there.
You get a pungent little navel.
Ugh. Ugh. All right, Chris at CWR2 finished Jaws, a game about a giant shark who tires of chasing beachgoers and decides he wants to try deep-throating pontoon boats instead.
It makes sense. I've seen the movie, and that's almost exactly how it goes.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, he gets a little bored with the...
eating people. He's like, I need this fucking boat.
He's like, let's just see how much of this boat I can get down.
Going to eat this thing, and then they're going to shoot it, and the shark will explode.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, get out.
Andrew at FitNat finished Kirby's Nightmare in Dreamland, a game where Kirby accidentally sucked in a swarm of angry yellow jackets and started violently queefing. Can you imagine?
Wow, that's
crazy. Imagine little Kirby's
going to town.
Yep. Yep.
It's crazy. Troy, a Canadian retro who was once arrested near a rising river because he misunderstood what flash flood really meant, finished Kirby's Dreamland. So Kirby's.
He was flashing the flood.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Kirby's Dreamland was the CC Portable Game of the Month, so there are a few folks in the club who finished that. Kevin at Brood on Mars finished Metroid Zero Mission, a game where Samus runs around an alien-infested planet looking for where she left her car keys.
That happens.
Where'd I put them?
Where'd they go? I left them right here. Chris R. at Beast Guys 654 completed Shatterhand, a game about a melee-fighting cyborg on a mission to put an end to anyone who refers to vacation as vacay.
Yeah, don't call it that. Don't call it vacay. I'm going on vacay.
That'll give me a case of the Mondays if you do that.
That's worse to me than veggie, to be
honest. Oh, wow? That didn't make the pet peeve?
It didn't. It just hit me the other day. Someone was like, what are you doing for your holiday vacay? And I was like, murdering you. stabbing you to death.
Running this blade through your throat.
Yes. Diego, at a Latino lawyer who recently revived his... I'm so sorry, Diego. Let me get back. Let me start it over. No, there's a payoff's good.
All right, here we go.
Diego, at a Latino lawyer who recently received his family heirloom, a jarred fart, finished Sonic Mania. How do you receive a family heirloom? Did they just send that in the mail? Does the government have them all? I don't know how it all works.
I don't inherit shit, so I don't know. Well, Diego would know.
He inherited shit.
Well, you know, hair shit.
Well, whatever.
I don't know.
We're getting gross.
All right. Pam at, I still don't know how to say her
Jisila.
Handle. Jisila. Okay, Pam at Jisila _. Master of ambiguous sarcasm and solving crimes by accessing the spirit plane. That's an A&E. Beat Thimbleweed Park. Now, this is a game that I really want to play.
Well, and Pam has beaten it. Now, is it a spiritual successor to some LucasArts
point and click adventure? It's 100 Maniac Mansion esque.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Day of the Tentacle esque.
Yeah.
Tentacle esque.
I'd be excited about trying it, yeah. You mentioned it before.
Get in the old squirrel.
Of course, you'll never beat it. Frankie at Viper Strike, who says he gets a rush from strangling drifters with his shoelaces, beat Wolfenstein 2 New Colossus.
New Colossus. I can't wait to play that, too. I need to get Briz to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to finish it.
Now it's time for the Poly Killers, people who beat more than one game. Been busy on it.
Been busy.
Take it away.
Kyle at Doplik finished Advance Wars, which you never have, and Cabal, two military-style games that make Kyle miss the days when he used to blow up his plastic army men and neighborhood cats with M80s.
Now that's just hateful. Don't hurt the kitty cats.
Don't do that.
Don't hurt them.
Stop it, Kyle.
Church at the Game Grinder recently finished Shantae Half Genie Hero DLC and Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight is also what Church calls his new foreplay that requires a juiced pineapple and some chainmail.
Oh, Bill at STC Pod quoted as saying, interspecies relations are fun until it gets weird. Finish Rocket League and Kirby's Dream Land.
I always thought it started out weird, but Bill says there's a point in which it goes from okay to being weird.
It gets weird.
Okay. Brian at Hokey Briz finished The Turing Test and Cold Fear. That was with me. Mm-hmm. Cold Fear is about the time in high school a bunch of the kids took his clothes and hid them while he was showering after gym class.
Oh.
He was just left there cold and afraid and wet and scared.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, Cold
Reminds
Fear.
Reminds me of the opening to Central Intelligence. Have you seen that movie? It's pretty good.
Has that got like Kevin Hart in it?
And The Rock.
Mm. No, I've not seen it.
Miles at a Flock Nerds finished Dragon's Lair and Quantum Break. Also, Miles has a room in his apartment he calls the Dragon's Lair that is wall-to-wall hentai porn featuring Spyro and Toothless.
That's filthy.
Stop
is what
it.
That is. I'm into it, though. I would like to see
That's
it.
That's fine.
I'm into it.
I like
the more I think about it, the more I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Dean at Round_2_Gaming finished Vice, Project Doom, Ghostbusters, and Kabuki Quantum Fighter, a game about a ninja who whips foes to death with his long hair while headbanging to Neil Diamond's classic hits.
Sweet Caroline, man.
Sweet.
It's a great finisher.
Sweet headbanging Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Ryan at It's Rocket Sauce finished Quantum Break, Kirby's Dream Land, and Altered Beast. Altered Beast is a game that represents Ryan's psyche in traffic while he's desperately trying to get to his Tinder date on time.
You know, you're on your way to your Tinder date, which I've never had an experience with, but I imagine, you know, you're running late, traffic's in the way, you don't want to let down this person. You could have swiped them, but now you're just ready to go visit them, and, you know, time is of the essence.
I thought you visited him because you swiped him.
I don't really know how it works. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm a married man.
Same.
Okay. Jeffrey at Self Destructo finished Godzilla, Kirby's Dream Land, and It's the Police.
Oh, shit.
It's the Police is obviously something Jeffrey has grown accustomed to hearing ever since he started doing hot naked yoga in his living room with the curtains drawn.
Oh, fam.
Gotta draw the curtains.
Yeah, or cool it off.
Don't draw the curtains. I don't know how. When the curtains are drawn, they're open, right? Or are
no.
they closed?
I think it's...
Or are they open?
It depends on where you are.
Or are they closed?
I think below the equator.
Are they open?
They're open.
Or are they closed?
All right. Musty at Musty Hobbit finished What Remains of Edith Finch, Hellblade, Madden 18, Battlefront 2, and Mass Effect 2. Jeez, Musty. God. Musty remarked he was impressed with Madden 18 because he originally thought it was going to be like taking a bite out of a hot dog full of tumors.
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
I expected the same. I thought going in,
wow,
this is going to be just hot lettuce. Is that a bad thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, people don't like it.
Yeah,
hot,
I thought it was going to
be hot, wet lettuce.
I thought it was going to be that. And it turned out to be a little less than that, which is okay.
It was
or
like
more.
Chilled. Chilled lettuce.
It was like a crisp iceberg.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure.
Caleb at Caleb J. Ross, who spent an entire Tuesday trying to find the right elevator to poop in, finished Zombie Nation.
That's the best one. Gotta keep them simple, man. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. Finished Zombie Nation, Rhyme, Cube, It'll Do Too, and Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas.
Oh, shit. See, I need to get talk to Caleb about Rhyme, because he's the only person that's played it this year that I know of, aside from me.
You guys need to get together and
Caleb,
chat it up.
Caleb, if you listen to the podcast...
He doesn't. There's no way he does.
Jesus.
Who would do that? He's a self-respecting, dignified man.
Okay.
And this so far, to me, has been like our worst episode. So
He's out.
Oh. Anyway, that's been your Just Beat It's.
That's your Just Beat It's, fam.
Hashtag them. Send them in. And see if we can come up with some stupid shit to say.
Let's
that makes you giggle a little bit.
Yeah, we'll laugh.
Games added to the backlog.
Yeah, you didn't add anything, did you?
You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
I did not. I'm deciding that maybe until the end of the year, I'll just beat what's on the list and feel good about myself at the end of the year. We got the you know, next episode, we're going to be doing the superlatives.
Oh, I love superlatives.
I don't want to clutter my list with anything new, so I'm just going to gonna let it sit until next year.
Okay, no problem. No problem. I added Fire Emblem Warriors to mine. Just because I feel like I'll be playing that with P1 there.
Okay. Well, that's not a good... It doesn't set me up for a good transition at all.
I might be playing that game with Player One of the Cartridge Club.
And if you have games you... Fuck. Caltech. This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. You know what's funny? Remember last week when I couldn't think of the website?
I do remember that.
It is actually cowden.tech. Like, we've been saying it in the email address.
I was kind of thinking that, fam.
I'm really dumb. I mean, I tell people this all the time, and I don't know why they give me any credit. I'm really stupid. But you can go visit the Caltech website. It is cowden.tech.
Yeah,
you can just go there and check it out.
Check it out.
If you like what you're hearing so far, which, who knows, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PolyKillPodcast. Like the page and maybe share it with your friends. CartridgeClub.org. You can chat with us on the forums and comment on our shitty episodes. PolyKill.com is where you can find all of our stuff, including merchandise, if you'd like to have a t-shirt or a mug, or you can enter the contest and win those straight up for free. PolyKillPodcast@gmail.com is where you can send all your hate mail for Jake. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. Tell a friend, and also tell a friend about Spotify. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you want to. If you're into having long
visuals,
podcasts on your YouTube feed, do that.
You like that.
And yeah, that's it. So thank you.
Booyah.
You do all that.
Gracias.
Okay, so we're moving on. That's
moving
halftime.
That's
sort of the halftime there. So now it's time for the
long play.
I don't know if they're getting better or worse.
Boy, that was a good one, though.
You think so?
That was a good one.
Man, I'm glad you think so.
That was good.
Take it away.
All right. So the long play for me is Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah. I mean, I've not played it. There's not a lot I can do with me. What do you want from me?
That'd be better.
There's not a lot I can... I mean, play more games.
Be better.
Beat a game every now and then.
Okay, I'll try. I beat two last time.
Yeah, I beat two last time.
Anyway, Assassin's Creed Origins, no real updates. I've put another 4 to 5 hours into it in the last couple of weeks. So moving on, you know how you get that sort of target list when you play Assassin's Creed? Like, you know who you got to kill next? You kind of get I guess it's sort of a contract, but in this one it's not a contract. It's more of like finding out through story threads, which I kind of like. It's not, it doesn't feel like a job. It feels like I need to go kill this person because they're shit. So,
right.
So you go do it. It's more personal. It evolves into a little bit more political stuff, but it's still a little bit better. Still having a blast with it. Still a beautiful game. Just got a nice update. It has a horde mode, a new difficulty level. It patched some of the graphics stuff, so it looks a little cleaner, even still. So it looks great, plays great, and I do recommend that you play this game if you liked, you know, Horizon. If you liked Witcher Wild Hunt, play this game. It's a nice treatment of the Assassin's Creed world, and there's a nice update on the formula. So check it out.
High praise. Last time I made my long play Dragon Age Inquisition because it's a bigger, more imposing game, and I usually put those on the long play because I'm like, this takes a long time to play.
Right.
Ergo, long play. But sure. I took a break from Dragon Age, still played a little bit, talk a little bit about it some more in the side quest section, but I really spent most of my time with Chrono Trigger.
Oh, it's a good game, right?
Yeah, it's a game I really wanted to beat by the end of the year, so I went ahead and started it up, and I like it. Now, here's a thing that I'm struggling
with.
No, I love it. But I think, I know you were getting weary, but I think, as much as I do like it, I still think I liked Secret of Mana better, and I think that shows that I'm more of an action RPG
sure.
fan.
Sure.
One of the things about Chrono Trigger that that is sort of a roadblock for me is that I never know what the fuck I'm supposed to do next. Mm. Like, in terms of, like, where to go on the map or what year or whatever. I'm not confident in it. So, like, I don't want to waste time going to the wrong place. So sometimes I sort of look up the chapter names. I'm like, oh, I was actually supposed to. I'm glad you told me. Because you can actually beat the game for you're supposed to, and I don't want to do that. And so that's sort of the holdup for me is just really figuring out what and when and where. Mm.
Right. You know. That's sort of the story of the game, too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, it is fun. I do like it.
And one of the first games that has multiple endings.
Yeah, that's yeah, I think that's true, actually. Yeah,
I mean, one of the first big ones, anyway. I'm not saying it hadn't been implemented previously, but, you know, it was one of those few games that, like, you know, you could make a choice and it would affect the ending of the game. And that was pretty cool. And still is cool. You know, it's not insignificant.
Yeah, yeah. So it is fun. I mean, I get all the hoopla, and of course, I had played a fair bit of it in the past and just had never beaten it, but that's my goal now, is to finally put a bow on it and send it out the door.
I like it.
So, side quest.
Side quest!
That's where I've left Dragon Age Inquisition. I started playing the game, and I don't know if it's a mood thing. You know how it is with... you kind of have to be in the mood for a game that's just that engrossing.
Oh, I thought you said moot.
No,
thing,
mood.
As if
like
it
a
didn't
mood
matter.
Thing. Like, no. It is not insignificant. But when I'm playing this game, I'm able now to compare it to The Witcher.
Nah, sure you
which
are.
Which I think are... That's a decent parallel to make.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
the
open-world RPGs,
time.
About a year apart, yeah.
Yeah. And I think everything in The Witcher has so much more gravity to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even from the tone to the size and scale of every decision to the difficulty. And I know this is, you know, Dragon Age is more of a team management sort of game. It's not quite a one-for-one, but it's so... it's like there's too much for me sometimes. Like there's... And I don't know if it's the game...
In terms of the management of things or just the high fantasy and the sort of lack of gravitas and all of that together?
I think it's so much that nothing feels like the most important thing. Like whether it's the main quest or the side missions that it sort of adds onto your list without really letting you know. Like I don't really know what's important in the world. And I'm running around kind of talking to people and like long dialogue, long this, long that. And I'm trying to soak it all in. And it's really not hitting yet. It's just sort of bouncing off of me. I'm like, what am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? So it hasn't really hooked me yet. I find fun in a lot of the, you know, combat and a lot of the characters are neat, but so far I think The Witcher is just use the word better, but for me it's more of a compelling game. Just
sure.
I think it's the tone. It's more metal. Dragon Age feels like the Walmart version of
I would
Witcher.
Consider, and JD, when you hear this comparison, I think you'll understand. I consider Dragon Age to be more power metal. And I would think that The Witcher is a little more black metal.
Sure.
So that would be my thing. Like, Dragon Age is about dragons and overcoming and heroes, and Witcher's more like, we gotta fucking do this.
Right. Yeah. And I don't mean that you have to compare Dragon Age Inquisition to The Witcher.
It's
a great
fine.
Game on its own, but I have to do that because it's like my most recent experience with RPGs.
And it's a legitimate comparison.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get to is I don't know if I'll stick with Dragon Age. I'm glad I've started it and played it a little bit of it, but I don't know.
You don't know.
It's so big.
It's big.
It's so big. There's so much
Large.
There.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, dog. All right, so my long play, my side quest, we'll call it my side quest, is PUBG.
What?
PUBG.
Pube.
PUBG. Yeah. So I picked this up. It was released, PlayerUnknown's, PlayerUnknown's every time. PlayerUnknown's Battleground. That's just PUBG. I'm just going to call it PUBG. From now on, I'll shut up. So the game, those of you who may not know who it is, maybe you do, maybe you don't, maybe you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in gaming for the last year. However, this game is a Battle Royale game. It was like the first... kind of on the scene that kind of did it on a larger scale. 100 live players on an island. You just get dropped. We don't get dropped. You jump out of an airplane on this island. And then over time during the match, you all just try to kill each other. And then like the playing area, the active playing area of the island becomes smaller. And if you're outside the play area, you die. So you kind of have to be, you're forced into conflict. Now I'll address the elephant in the room. Hey, Marvin. But I love the game. I love the game. There's some issues on the Xbox One port. It's not pretty. There's some frame rate issues, lots of pop-in shit. It's not perfect, but this is a game preview, meaning it's like the early access version. I'll have Xbox. So I don't mind. I genuinely don't. It needs to be better. And if it's not better, I'm going to be a little disappointed. However, that does not at all determine how I feel about the gameplay. Because it's honestly one of the most exhilarating games I've played in a long time. It's such a pure experience. It's just a map with houses on it and 100 people. Like, there's no gimmicks to it. Like, you jump out of this plane and you hope to make it into a house or a school or a building to get gear before somebody else does. Because if you just run outside with a frying pan and, they got full gear and guns, like, you're immediately fucked. Mm. But it's so fun because there's no radar. There's no detection of where anyone else is. You just have to listen. You have to make sure that you're not moving in too conspicuous of ways. If you get a car, it's like the best thing that can happen to you in the game. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It kind of has that one more round kind of feeling too. It's like, I died at number 78. I can do better than that.
Right.
The other day, it starts off with 100 players, and then just whoever's the last man standing is the winner.
Does it force you to watch the rest of the match?
It does not. Nope. You can bail immediately, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I made it to the top three.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And like the play area had shrunk. So if you move outside of it, you slowly die. So you have to stay in this play area. And it had shrunk to the point where it was basically like this house and just a patch of grass around it.
Wow.
And there were three of us alive.
Yeah.
And we're all in this house, and none of us had any idea where the other one is. So you are just like sitting in these rooms, just scared to death to move.
Now, is there a timer?
There's no timer.
Okay.
So that thing may shrink again. I don't know how small it gets because I ended up dying like a bitch at number three. But like, it's so exhilarating because when you watch the numbers at the top of the screen, it has a counter. It's like 60 left alive, 50 left alive, whatever. Like,
it feels
that.
Like the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're like when I got to like top, I was like, I don't know, top 20. I was like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. And then it's like top 10. It's like, oh, then you get the heart starts beating pretty hard. And then it's like, holy shit, I'm top three. And like, I might do this. And then some guy just, kicks the door in with a shotgun, goes pow pow, and then it's over. But it's so fun because
now, do you play like very aggro, or do you just kind of wait in the shadows? And
oh, I'm a waiting guy. I'm very opportunistic.
Yeah.
But there's so many cool moments that can happen in this game just because it's so emergent, because it's all, every event is controlled by the player. And like, there's some days you just walk out, outside of the house, take the first step, and you just hear a thip, and then you're dead. Because some guy across the field has a sniper rifle and you don't.
Ah.
But then there's some that you can just hide under a tree for 20 minutes and just watch everyone else die.
And the drops are sort of randomized?
It's very random. Everything, all the gear are in buildings. So there's no like gear out in the world. But like, you go in a building, you might find a rifle, a shotgun, a protective vest. So
there's
backpack.
A little luck there. I mean, depending on what you come
with. There's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
But you pair that with some strategy and it's... there's a lot of fun to be had with this game, and I'm really excited that I'm finally in here because it's been on PC for a while and I just don't play on PC. But
what's the going rate right now on Xbox?
$30.
That's not bad.
No,
it sounds like it's worth the money for the experience you get. Yeah.
It totally is, because a friend of mine has it, and we because there's like a solo mode, then there's a like a duo mode, I think maybe they call it, and then there's like a squad mode. So like, you can go out with just two people, and with two people, it's an entirely different experience because you kind of have another set of eyes that can watch corners or like whatever, and you can coordinate, like you can check buildings at the same time. So there's some cool wrinkles with that. I haven't got to play squad mode yet because I think you have to have four, which maybe JD and I can pair up with some couple other people. I'm trying to get Briz in on this business, and I think he will, because it's definitely his kind of game. It's very, you got to be careful and tactical, and it's so much fun. So if you're on the fence about it, I understand, because the port's not great, especially if you're playing on original Xbox hardware. It's even kind of uglier and a little slower. Xbox One X is still not great, but it's better. But there's a lot of fun to be had, so I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well said. Yeah, I'm more intrigued now than ever.
Good time.
Okay, so that's been PUBG.
PUBG.
Now it's time for the discussion. Funny how this worked out. Episode 46 was our classic RPGs episode
20 weeks ago.
And episode 56 is our modern RPGs episode. That's right. And we're saying modern is anything 2002 and later. I don't remember how I came up with that before, but here we are. Okay, so we're going to start this off. We're going to talk about some modern RPGs that we've had some experiences with and beaten, some of our favorite franchises and so forth. And then we'll talk about some of the ones that we're currently working on. And then finally, we'll talk about that... you know, that famed list that came out over the summer for IGN and Game Informer, and they listed their top 100 RPGs each, and I sort of weighted those lists and made a top 10 overall, and we'll talk about those and whether or not we've played them or want to. And so let's kick it off here. Modern RPGs that we have beaten, have experience with. Recently for me, I did run through Nier Automata, got a few endings, and I was okay with it. It wasn't everything I wanted it to be, but it was a decent enough experience. I like that it was an action RPG, and so I did really like that aspect of it, but you know, pretty cool. And that's one that you had not played. Do you have any interest in that at all?
I do. So maybe over break, if I knock a few other things off the backlog, I'll jump into it. We'll see.
It won't happen. Fallout, I've played, you know, the three modern, I guess, what would you call it? The three...
The reimagined Fallout world.
Right. Fallout 3, New Vegas, and 4. Played through those. Love that series. Got a little tired of 4 quicker than I wanted to, but really, I mean, how can you go wrong with the Fallout series, you know?
It's difficult.
Now, have you beaten the Fallout?
I've not beaten the Fallout.
But you've put some hours in.
A lot of hours.
Sure. Elder Scrolls, I've finished Oblivion and Skyrim. I would have loved to have played Morrowind at some point, but I think it's a little too dated to go back to.
Yeah, even modded with like graphical enhancements, it's still just really, you know.
I hate I missed it, though, because people talk about that one, and it's some people's favorite.
There's some really cool things about it. There's some really shit things about it. I mean, it's a massive world, but it's one of those worlds that's just, it was just large for the sake of almost a box quote at some point, and a lot of weird wrinkles with combat and such. And it was like, you know, it was sort of like that bridging between the old Elder Scrolls and kind of the modern Elder Scrolls. So it was good, but, you know, it wasn't, it would be really hard to go back to now.
Those are two more that you've not got the credits on, but you've put some time in.
Oh, absolutely.
Even Oblivion? I don't know if we've ever talked about Oblivion. Did you?
I have not beat Oblivion.
But you did play a fair amount. Okay.
That's one that I really want to go back and play. That one still might be kind of difficult to go back and play after playing Skyrim.
Yeah, I could see that.
The interesting thing is that this did get an Xbox One X 4K enhancement. So, like, they upscale everything to 4K in this game. I still own the disc. I bought the Collector's Edition Oblivion back when it was rated teen, before they re-rated it for M. I got a making of DVD and like an actual bronze septum and a lore book.
Wow.
Big old map. So I got all that sitting on a shelf. So it might get played at some point.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Of course, talked already about Witcher Wild Hunt.
Absolutely.
Loved that
once
one.
Once again, spent a little time in there, not a lot. I'm going to get to that one eventually.
South Park Stick of Truth, one that's sort of off the beaten path in terms of RPGs, especially modern. You think more of high fantasy and great graphics, and this was just sort of a 2D paper cutout, South Park style, poking fun at RPGs RPG. I enjoyed it. It made me laugh.
Yeah. A lot of people love this game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd actually like to play the Fractured But Whole at some point to see what that follow-up's like. Borderlands 2, I think that's one we've both beaten.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you play the original as well?
I did, yep.
Did you finish it?
I did.
You did, okay. I did not.
Did not end well. It was boring and just kind of anticlimactic, and it's just such a pale comparison to the Borderlands 2 experience.
Yeah, Borderlands 2 was rad. Now, Borderlands 3, that's been rumored, yes?
It's in development. It's confirmed to be in development.
Cool. So maybe that's a 2018, 2019 kind of thing.
I'm guessing 19, but yeah.
Maybe we'll see it at E3 this year.
I think we will.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I really enjoyed that. I played that with my buddy Josh. We don't play a lot of really long games together. He's not as into the gaming, not as into gaming in general as I am. And it's really hard for him. It's really hard for me to convince him a game is worth that much time. And that was one of those games that we put, you know, hundreds of hours in. And so it was had a lot of, you know, fun experiences with that, especially, you know, some of those references they put in there. I remember there's like one where you go down in the sewer and you fight these guys that are sort of like the Ninja Turtles.
So many references.
That was cool. And of course, Ashley Birch is a voice in there. So what a cool game. I enjoyed that. Fable 3. I played Fable 3. You played the original Fable.
Right.
Neither of us have finished. Did you play at all Fable 2?
I did try to. I just could not. Like, there's a certain amount of Cockney accent that I can take within a given time. and just playing that game and just like wandering around the city, and every dialogue and every person that you talk to is like, oh, he's a chicken chaser. Just like, I gotta get out.
Yeah, I think that game for me, similarly, I didn't get a lot of humor. And a lot of it didn't land with
me. Like, it seems so imbalanced because the game is kind of mature in some aspects. You know, you can, like, buy condoms and have kids and like hear sex sounds, but like they made like these really adolescent,
jokes.
It's just like there was a lot of disparity in, thematically in the game, and I didn't really like, didn't care for the villain and the setup. It all just seemed kind of bleh to me. So I bailed on it after the first one because I wasn't even a huge fan of the first one.
Yeah. I played Fable 3 because I sort of inherited it, I guess, from whoever I bought the Xbox from, and played through it. And it was fun enough, but it's not an experience that I've ever wanted to go back to. Kind of left it behind. Mass Effect. I've beaten 1, 2, and 3. I actually beat them out of order. I beat 2, 1, then 3. Really enjoyed that series, and never got to Andromeda, of course. There was a lot of pushback on it for a lot of reasons.
Probably worth a playthrough.
Some people will say so, and then others say no. I think I am probably, as you say, gray enough to find some positive in it and play it. So I might still do that. But you, have you dabbled in those at all?
I have. There's a couple issues I have. It's like Mass Effect 1 has not aged well. I think 2 and 3 have aged just fine. 1 really hasn't aged well in terms of like all of it. You know, graphics, voice acting, animation, it doesn't look great now.
It's also kind of very janky and frustrating at times.
Yeah, I mean, really frustrating at times. So like the issue that I have is I've started that game multiple times. And it's just like that first like 5 hours are just burned into my brain, and I just don't know that I could ever get past it. And I kind of hate moving to 2 or 3 without having that initial story experience.
I think you could just jump in at 2, personally. I mean, I did, and I enjoyed it, and it's my favorite one of all of them. I went back to 1 just to get some perspective, and I don't know that it helped that much.
Okay.
I mean, all of the characters that are interesting in 2 are in 1, and they're sort of reintroduced well enough in 2 that you could start there.
Sure. So okay.
I would encourage you to try 2. Okay. I think it's better than 3, but 3's not bad.
Okay. I mean, I have them all. So
sure. Right. Yeah. Okay. One that I don't remember why I played it. I think maybe I picked up the game at a yard sale and just really wanted an RPG at the time. Was Divinity 2, the Dragon Knight Saga.
Okay.
Weird game. I remember being very frustrated at this game for long periods of time, but still sticking with it. Put like 40 to 50 hours in it and finally beat it. I don't think I'd recommend it.
Okay.
But it's almost like it's almost a badge of honor to have stuck with it, because there were times where I fucking hated that game.
Ah.
And I was like, I've already sunk 30 hours. I'm doing it. I'm going in.
Gotcha.
I'm beating it. So I don't, you know, the Divinity 2, was it Original Sin?
Well, Divinity Original Sin.
Divinity Original, I'm
and
sorry.
And then there's now a follow-up to that.
Right. Yeah. So I've heard those are much, much better.
Yeah, I don't know, because I feel like Divinity and maybe Divinity 2 are a little more like action-based, like third-person.
Yes, indeed.
So these go back to that isometric Baldur's Gate Diablo formula. And I have Original Sin. Thanks, Adam. But I think the thing is, those games are pretty hard. Like, they're pretty hardcore.
Yeah. And maybe that's why my frustration with Dragon Knight Saga, maybe that's just the theme of the series is just to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah. I honestly do enjoy that, like, if I've got the brain space for it.
Right. And I think, you know, going back to Dragon Age Inquisition, I think that's part of it, is just, like, there's a lot to swallow here, and I don't know if I'm up to it.
Right. Yeah. I feel you.
And also, I'm going to say Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. It was made in, you know, it's before 2002, but it came out in December of 2001, and I didn't talk about it on episode 46. So that's one that that my wife and I had joined forces and beat recently, and both really, really enjoyed.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with that series. I mean, that's solid stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Very heavy D&D implementation. So really nice.
Yeah. Do you have any that you've beaten?
I do. We've talked about a couple of them, but Fable. This was an OG Xbox thing from Lionhead and Peter Molyneux, who basically, you know, as his mouth wrote a bigger check than his ass could cash.
Several times.
But this was like the first real experience with that. There were some really cool things about Fable. I liked the sort of the visual flair of your sort of morality alignment showing itself in fun ways. Like if you did enough bad shit, you'd get veiny and like have black veins and grow horns and shit. Thought that was fun. I mean, there were some really neat ideas. It's one of those games that you could probably play over and over again, but I sort of was let down because, you know, it was sold so big, you know, it was sold so massive. But when you actually get to it, it's like a 10-hour game. It's not, there's not much there. Another that I beat, Diablo 3. Have you beat Diablo 3?
No, I remember I had fond memories of Diablo 2 and
okay, sure, yeah,
was salivating for Diablo 3, and it just felt too repetitious. And I know that's it, but I think I'd outgrown, or I don't want to say outgrown. I don't want to downplay.
Maybe not in that phase.
Yeah, I don't think I could stick with it.
Diablo 3 is actually pretty great now. Like there were issues with it at launch. There was a lot of complaints about it. It was kind of weird for a Blizzard game to launch to not just absolute fanfare.
Especially with the name Diablo on it.
Right. So especially after a 12-year hiatus between the two, it's a lot of time to make something great. But they just, you know, the game is still going. They're still adding stuff. There's still seasons of content that go into it. You know, it's all still free updates. And people still play the shit out of this game. You know, it still gets a lot of playing time. And it was a really fun game. I really did enjoy it. It's one of those games that, you know, given that it's this type of RPG, it's more lore based than actually narrative based.
Yeah.
But this one does have some pretty strong characters, really good voice acting. The combat's really fun. And I think it actually works really well on consoles. You know, obviously Diablo and a lot of isometric RPGs are sort of, you know, built for PC and clicking, and the inventory systems are kind of like, you want keyboards and hotkeys and shortcuts and clicking and all that. But I think they made a really good transition to console, and I think it's one of the better RPGs that I've played on console. So I like the game a lot.
Yeah, actually, I had it on PC. I think another thing that I couldn't get past was figuring out how, like, the store worked and, like, how to obtain things
in the marketplace.
And I think I played it right around the hot time when that was an issue. So
sure.
I'm sure it's better now.
Another Borderlands 2 already talked about. Dragon's Crown. This is from VanillaWare.
It seems like a vanilla name, so I don't really know what this is about.
This is a pretty cool game. Extremely high fantasy. Very, very high fantasy. It's sort of like a nice mixture of an old school beat 'em up and a like squad-based RPG.
Interesting.
So, like, you just move from left to right on the screen fighting enemies, but you have like 5 or 6 different classes. Each are different characters. They're all fully voiced. Well, they're not fully voiced, but like all the NPCs and main players are voiced. It's a nice amalgam of like Streets of Rage meets Dark Souls. It's a really cool mix. Lovely art. You know, all hand-drawn animation. Beautiful game, and it's getting a re-release on PS4. So I'm pretty excited to see what that looks like. I don't know that I'll pick it up because, you know, I've already finished the game, had it on 3 and Vita because it was cross buy at one point, maybe. Or maybe it just had Vita and there was a cross save, something like that.
How long is this game?
I mean, obviously it depends on how much you want to put into it. There are some optional things. It does require a bit of grinding because the game is difficult. But, you know, you could spend probably 20, 30 hours and get through it.
Well, okay. I'm really honest, I've never heard of it, or if I have, it's just not a name that stuck with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very generic sort of name that you probably just project onto rather than react to. Big one, real big one for me, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. And this game blew my mind when I played it the first time. And you've played it? You haven't.
I've picked it up recently. We're actually going to talk about it a little bit more here in a minute.
Shit, dicks!
Yeah, but what's your experience with it?
Love it. It's still the best RPG I've ever played, in my opinion.
Wow.
I don't know how well it's aged, be honest.
Right. Well, you know, that doesn't really matter to me.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, you're right.
My eyes are okay for
10 frames a second.
Yeah, I can do it.
So, Knights of the Old Republic, set in the extended Star Wars universe that has now been scrapped by Disney. Set 10,000 years before the events of the Skywalker saga, when the Jedi ruled the known galaxy, and they were peacekeepers, but there was still like this the struggle with the Sith and all this shit. But it's like playing Mass Effect, but everything's Star Wars, and like the battle system is not unlike what you play in Dragon Age Inquisition, where it's you can do things in real time, or you can sort of pause, assign everybody a move set, or a type of defense or offense to use, and just let it roll. Amazing characters. I mean, I don't know how well the voice acting sounds now. Once again, that probably doesn't matter to you, but some amazing story elements and just being in so soaked in Star Wars. It was really great.
Right.
I loved it.
Two things. One, voice acting is somewhat important. I was just thinking Cold Fear, me and Brian played it, and it was so bad.
Not bad.
Yeah. The guy was like, he would go up to a door that wouldn't open and be like, "My God, it's stuck." And it was for every fucking door, and it would happen a lot. Yeah. Instead of just making like a noise that, like, or just saying the door is locked, he had to say that every time. And it was awful. The other thing is, I just want to know, like, does the game no longer being canonical, does that sort of cheapen the experience for you? Like, if a Star Wars game came out now, it was like, the story doesn't matter to Star Wars. It's not recognized at all. Does it make you want to play it less?
If it came out now, yes. But the fact that this existed at a time when it did actually gives it a certain amount of charm to me.
Okay.
Because it's more like a relic. You know,
I see.
It survives despite the, you know, I mean, there's still plenty of books, you know, Timothy Zahn books and lots of EU books that are still out there that aren't canonical but are still great stories. But, you know, the fact that they're now disconnected doesn't really bother me.
So you wouldn't mind going, like, if you would pick up a new one of those books and read it despite that it's not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the story's good and somewhat self-contained and doesn't try to control, you know, post-original trilogy events that I've now seen alternate versions of.
Interesting. Okay.
If that makes sense. But given this is 10,000 years before, doesn't really matter.
Sure. Any others you're...
Last two I'll mention are the Destiny games, 1 and 2. It's you know, if we're considering Borderlands an RPG, I think we can Destiny.
Yeah, for sure.
So I, you know, these sort of fall between the cracks in terms of genre, like, because they're to an extent a story-based first-person shooter, to an extent they're an MMO, and to an extent they're kind of like this Borderlands-esque loot grind.
I think that's similar to Mass Effect. It sort of straddles RPG and first-person shooter,
sure,
or team management, tactical strategy.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I like these well enough. Destiny 2 had a much better implementation of the story than Mass Effect 1 did, or Destiny 1 did. But, I mean, neither are, you know, massive hits. But when it comes to gameplay and the loot grind and things like that, it's still fun and addictive.
Cool. Playing some right now concurrently, obviously, Dragon Age Inquisition, which I've talked about, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2.
Right.
My wife and I moved on to that, and we've not revisited it in some time. Don't really know why, but we do intend to. And then, of course, Dragon Quest 8, Journey of the Cursed King, which I've been cooking on for about a year and a half now, almost 2 years.
It's fantastic.
I'm right there at the end, and I just haven't gotten around to putting the effort into beating that boss. I hope to. I hope to soon.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. At least I get that far in games, you know?
Yeah.
Says so the guy who doesn't beat anything.
But I still play games. It's not like I'm not playing
games. I'm just fucking you.
All right. So the ones that I have on my backlog, a lot of big RPGs on my backlog.
Dude, these are huge.
It's not cool that these are on my backlog still.
That's why when you say things like, I hope to get to it soon, I look at this and I'm like, no way, you're not.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily have to finish all these.
Right. I know. But
however,
you got so much
here
on the
plate. Are RPGs, modern RPGs on my backlog. I have Witcher Wild Hunt. I have the Gaudier version of that, the Game of the Year edition. So I have, you know, the two expansions.
Yeah, Bloodwine and something else.
Sacred Heart. I don't know. Stone Heart.
Yeah, sounds right.
Heart of Stone.
I'm
something like that.
I'm with you.
Persona 5, Fallout 4, and all the DLC. So Far Harbor, Nuka World, all that shit. Skyrim with all the DLC, like, you know, Dragonborn and...
on the Switch.
Yeah, on the Switch. And on Xbox One.
And your toaster. And this cup probably
yes,
has Skyrim in it.
This phone has Skyrim on it. It doesn't. Also, Persona 4 Golden on Vita. And Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Massive games.
Honkers.
Massive games on my backlog. Why do I buy these games? I should just buy Kamikos, just $5 Kamikos, just play them over and over again.
I'm interested to see if your New Year's resolution is going to be similar than last
me
year.
Me too.
Because you'd finally burned through some games.
I did.
In the first 6 months of the year. Interesting. Those are big.
Okay.
So that takes us into the sort of the, I guess, the climax of this discussion is that...
Yeah, the orgasm of this.
I cross-listed the IGN and Game Informer Top 100 and came up with the ultimate top 10 modern RPGs, and we're going to briefly talk through this list and talk about the ones that we played, if we intend to play them, our experiences, and so forth. Number 10, Fallout New Vegas. That was from the PC, PS3, 360 days.
Mm-hmm.
I've beaten it. You have not. You intend to ever? Maybe not. It's a too old.
I kind of doubt it. Honestly, okay. It's one of those that I don't really care about.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised that it's the highest Fallout on the list. For me, it's probably third of the what I would say the new.
Not really.
The new Fallout.
Would Fallout 3 be and then Fallout 4 and then New Vegas?
Yeah, I think so. And it, you know, I don't know if that's because the games are necessarily better in that order, but that's my fondness of them. So,
makes sense. Yeah. Gold times.
Number 9, Persona 4.
Mm.
And I'm lumping Persona 4 Golden in here too. Is that okay?
That's fine because it's, you know, Golden is just a slightly updated version. You know, it's got the full voice acting.
Well, together, these games come in at number 9 on the PS2 and I believe the Vita.
Yes.
Okay. They're long. It's a 70-hour sort of RPG social sim combination.
Mm.
You have a lot of experience with this, but you've not beaten it.
Right.
How much experience? I mean, how close? Any close?
I mean, I'm...
Any close? Is that a thing?
Any close? maybe 20, 25 hours into Persona 4.
Would you have to start it over? Has it been that long?
Maybe.
Wow.
It's been an age.
Yes.
It's been an age since I played it, but yeah, the thing is, the game is so charming, the music's great, and the characters are fun, and the combat's amazing, and the world is bizarre, and it's so colorful and vibrant, and it's just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, maybe one day for me, I do own it.
It's
kind of sitting there, but it's so daunting.
Don't let it be daunting.
And the version
it's
I have
very
is sealed,
beatable.
So I don't know if I want to do that. But yeah, I mean, it is something that's, you know, now I'm wondering if I should just jump into 5. And because it's new and flashy and I have a PS4.
I promise you, Persona 5 does not look new and flashy. It looks like a PS3 and a half game.
Well, you know what I mean, though. It's contemporary. Like, I
know what you mean.
Play this.
I know what you mean.
And
it's
beyond the level. I'd be cool. I'd be hip.
I may be splitting hairs by saying this, but Persona 4 has a much different look in terms of... Like, the gameplay is still the same to an extent, but that's really the only carryover between the two. They're much different experiences in terms of story and world. Because,
and flair.
Yeah, it's like...
Persona 5, based on what I've seen, it's almost comic booky in its delivery. Is that fair?
There's a lot of pizzazz. There's a lot of visual flair in every single aspect of the game, whether it's the menus, the, you know, when you pause the game, the credits, opening sequences, all of it. Very flashy, but like the game itself is based on... A new set of characters with a slightly new set of abilities that fight demons in a slightly new, well, in a very different way and for very different reasons. Persona 4 is almost just like a murder mystery. So it's like, it's very different in terms of...
Well, you got me a murder mystery, fam. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in there. I'm going to run around. 70 hours.
There, noodle around.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going to get to the very end and never beat it. coming in at number 8, Elder Scrolls...
Morrowind.
3 Morrowind. Yeah. Yeah.
The one that we were just talking about, how everyone's... And this is one I definitely think... Yeah, I mean, anytime I see a top 10 list from, you know, whether it's video game editorial or somebody puts it together, you always have to take in the idea that this is... A lot of this is nostalgia. A lot of this is gold time, you know, golden memories, etc.
But there's also I think that is balanced out with recency bias as well.
And there's also the whole groundbreaking thing that a lot of games get credit for, you know.
Which I think Morrowind did to an extent.
And that's why I think it's here.
Yeah.
A combination of those three things.
That's one I think I'll probably never go back to and try to beat.
No.
Unless there is some actual Bethesda-developed, real spit-shined, caught-up, modern
gen version. They're just going to keep making Skyrims.
They will. That's the one they like. Number 7, Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah. That's PS4. Crazy that it's on this, then. That high.
It's pretty high up there.
Honestly, like, it's good, but I think Dark Souls is better.
Well, that leads us into number 6, Dark Souls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so those two games right there together, and I think that's interesting.
From Software, man, they know how to get you. And like, if you like action RPGs, you're going to be really attracted to these games when you see them being played. Because they are, it's such a pure action RPG, but they're so daunting because, like, you know, it takes nothing to die in these games. And I'm beating the dead horse, and you know this, but... It's really cool, too, you know, because
it's metal.
The character design is amazing. The inventory system isn't bad for an RPG, which is rare for me. There's a lot of polish to these games. The animations are good. There's not a really strong story. It's so esoteric and so disparate that you are really intrigued by why things are the way they are. Bloodborne does a really good job of that. Like, it's fucking bizarre. And just creature design and everything is amazing in these games. And then you walk... to the, you know, the first area, and then just some guy that looks like you walks up and goes, and you're dead. You know, it's just one hit, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, I played a little bit of the original Dark Souls on PS3, and I want to say also 360. I think it was a free game of the month at one point. And I don't make it far. And I enjoy tough games. Like, I'm hooked on Cuphead. I love Cuphead, which I forgot to talk about. Again, I meant to, but I love the difficulty of Cuphead and the way that, you know, much like Meat Boy, it just kind of keeps me hooked. It keeps me going. But those games, you know, death was often and hard and slow to get back to. That I wore me out.
Checkpoints. That's the thing with those games is like, but the space between checkpoints is, it's not, you know, close.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to fight through the same waves.
Yeah. When it comes to difficult games, I think I like the hoppy jumpy platforming
muscle
old school
stuff.
Yeah. These things are just, I think they're too tough for me. I don't think these, you know, Bloodborne and Dark Souls, I think the difficulty is a little harder for me to overcome. I'm not that good at those games.
If you like that rush, though, of like beating
finally
the big
getting
boss.
It, yeah,
it's unparalleled in modern gaming.
I'd like to try it again. You do have Bloodborne, correct?
Yeah.
You have the hard copy.
Yes.
I might give it a whirl. I might see.
Okay.
Just
let me know.
Get a different flavor.
It's so good. Like, it's so pretty and so like you feel bad not playing it because it's that good, but you also know that shit, this is gonna, you know, make me pull what's left of my hair out.
Oh, yeah. We don't have much.
We don't.
Number five, Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim.
Plus we're done.
Yeah. Pretty solid pick there. I think that's a solid
number five. Number five is a good spot for it because it is great and it is ubiquitous. And, you know, here it is 5 years on and it, you know, we joke about it and laugh about it, but it is still relevant. It's still, you know, probably the premier Western open world RPG that's been made. Modded all the hell and lives on and, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah, I think at that point it was the culmination of everything everybody wanted in an RPG, and it just had to hit right time with the right stuff, and it worked
great
really
music.
Well. Great music. A lot of good memories of that one, of course. Mm. I have finished it. Our friend Brian has started it several times. He just likes creating characters and doing like 10 missions and then starting over again. So,
yeah.
And my wife put a lot of time into this one, so it's high on my list as well. Number four, one that you mentioned already, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
You're goddamn right.
You know, last time on, you know, episode 46, when we talked about those classic RPGs, mm-hmm. we sort of ended that one and said, let's add a couple to the backlog and try these out. I wasn't going to do that this time, but this is one on this list that I think I'm going to get to soon.
Cool.
I'd like to play this one.
Cool.
And get on the level. I'm not a high-ranking Star Wars nerd. I wish I was.
Sure.
It didn't do that for me. This is one that... This is a game that people keep talking about, and I should probably get on the end.
Yeah, I think there's not to just go on about this game, but I think there's enough here in terms of just characters that you don't need to like have a huge. I mean, you obviously need no knowledge of Star Wars to play this game because it happened so far previous to any films. So it's not like you're going to need to connect dots from here to there.
Right, yeah.
There are lots of lore references and stuff that, you know, total nerds geek out about in this game, but. The strength of the game stands on its narrative and the characters.
Fair enough. Number three, another one that we talked about, Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect.
As I said, it is certainly the best of the original trilogy.
Sure.
And, I mean, it is probably top five RPGs all time for me as well. So
cool beans.
I encourage anyone to play it that has not. And it was also a game of the month, I think. Cartridge Club game of the month this month. So a lot of people
Seems right.
have been playing it. So it's good.
That's a big one for a month.
For sure.
Yeah, truly.
Number two, another one that we talked about, Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. Number two, already.
Already.
Number two.
Look at that. So, I'll wait. Yeah, I still need to play this game.
You do?
Yeah. I have it. Like I said, I am honestly kind of waiting for CD Projekt Red to bump to give me that 4K res or their special treatment on the Xbox One X. It's so funny. I've been watching a lot of Digital Foundry videos on analysis, and they're very British. And when they say Xbox One X, I say it all together, so it's Xbox One X. Like, that's how I hear it in my head now, Xbox One X.
Nice. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is awesome. And I, you know, usually when I get credits on a game, I sort of leave it behind. There's so many other games I want to get to.
Sure.
This is one I still think about going back and playing that DLC for, which
nice.
I might do. Because I have, the Game of the Year edition. Number one, one that, you know, I doubt either of us will ever get to or play, but it makes sense to be where it is. And that
it's also kind of cheating.
I guess.
I don't know.
It's huge. World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes for... You can't beat it, really. You can beat a lot of it. Beat a lot of things.
Right.
But the MMO RPG, not something...
I have no interest in playing those.
Yeah, it doesn't have the crack, you know, aspect of it that it does for a lot of people. And I get why people like it. I played it, and I was like, oh, it's fun to do this with other people. But that loop sometimes was just too grueling, or it seemed too pointless for me. So
I agree.
But it did. I mean, you can't understate the impact that it's had on the gaming industry and people in general. And sometimes people identify themselves as a gamer, and this is the only game that they've ever played, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that is totally fine. I am curious, though. When did this list get made?
The summer.
So Breath of the Wild was out.
I wouldn't consider Zelda an RPG.
Okay.
Personally. But
I mean, you make things, you cook, you got an inventory system. But do you just not level up?
I guess.
Maybe that's it?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thin line. I think it could... It shares a lot of similarities.
Okay.
I would consider it more action-adventure, but it's for sure good.
Sure. Yeah. No, I just... I wasn't sure if there was a... You know, was it too new? I don't know. Or if it was just they didn't consider it.
I mean, Persona 5 was talked about on the list, so I don't know if it was too new, but... Yeah, that's another. Word. That's an interesting question. I think of all the Zeldas, that one's the one that's closest to an RPG.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so here's some ones that really weren't on the list, but some ones that I've been thinking about, and you have a couple too.
I do.
That some RPGs, some modern RPGs that we would like to get around to playing. One for me, Odin Sphere. Mm-hmm. I've had that on my bucket list, the game I want to play someday. I love the everything I've seen, like art-wise, and even the cover, like the hologram cover and everything. Looks really, really, I'll say titties.
It's another Vanillaware game. They just really know how to draw games.
And that one actually has a decent name. Like, it sticks out to me.
Right.
Odin Sphere.
Yeah, not Dragon's Crown.
Yeah. One is Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. I really enjoyed the first Paper Mario, and this is the follow-up on the GameCube. Goes for a hefty price, and by hefty, more than 20 bucks. but I heard nothing but great things about it, so another one I'd like to get around to playing.
Gotcha. So another one that I have dabbled in, but never got to finish... This is a game that's kind of connected to a weird time in history and some interesting political things, and that is Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Is this like 38 Studios?
This is 38 Studios, Kurt Schilling, the whole Rhode Island thing, right? So this is actually a game that a lot of people love, and I got why they loved it. You know, I played it a little bit on Xbox 360. I think I still have a copy on PC, because I have it digitally, so obviously I still have it somewhere. I just don't know which service through which I own it. But this thing was pretty interesting. I always considered it like playing WoW, but it being a single-player game. Mm-hmm. Very bright, colorful artwork. Very high fantasy. It was written by R.A. Salvatore. There was some interesting things you could do. I think it was the first game that I ever played in terms of an RPG where you could go to this, I think they called him the Fate Weaver, and you could undo every skill point that you spent and basically respec your character at any point you wanted, which
was
awesome.
Free of charge in the game?
Like
no currency? Because sometimes games like you can do that, but it's going to cost you like half your gold.
There was something that it did cost. Mm. But still, that's a cool idea. So I really like to kind of... get in there and see, you know, what happened, because you know, there's obviously, it's never going to be backward compatible. There's never going to be a sequel. So it's just kind of like this weird standalone spot. The game's sound, like a lot of people, you know, there's not just charm to it. It's actually a good game.
Right on.
The other is I Am Setsuna. And this is one that's very attainable. I just haven't attained it yet.
I thought it'd been on your backlog for a while.
No, I do not own it. I do not own it. It's on PS4 and the Switch.
So you should own it.
So I should own it. This is a sort of a modern version of a classic RPG. A lot of people compare this to like playing Chrono Trigger. It's that formula. Has some repetition and has some like irritating grinding parts. But, you know, it's a very melancholic, sad game that... I think Setsuna actually means sacrifice in Japanese. So like you're leading this girl to sacrifice herself to save the world or like the village or something. Hmm. So it's like this is just basically a long death march of an RPG.
Dark.
So I'm really intrigued by it. So at some point I'll pick it up. I think it's only available physically in Japan for Switch, so you'd have to import it. But digitally you can pick it up. So you know, region free though, so if I wanted to do that I could. But then again, I'm not exactly sure if it includes English subs. I think it does. But anyway, those are the two that I would eventually like to get around to.
Awesome. I think we pretty much covered it here.
I think so, too.
Decent amount of
RPG-ness.
RPG-ness. I can't wait to start Knights of the Old Republic. I walk by it, I see it on the shelf, and I'm like, I'll holler at you later. You know what I'm saying? Let me get through some of this other shit first. Any that you think, you know, of these RPGs, of course, you got a bunch, and you always talk about getting around to doing it, getting around to beating, getting around to playing. What's the one, if you look at this list, the ones you got on your docket, what's most appealing to you right now?
I mean, right now, Persona 5. I need to get in there. Need to get back at it, and
you need to make amends with Miles.
I do, and it's a game. You know, Persona. It saddens me that I haven't got to play it, and it's just I want to give it the attention it deserves because I love Persona. I love Persona. So, and it makes me a total nerd to say that, but I love it, and it makes me sad that I haven't finished it. So
makes me sad.
I'm going to go back very soon.
Do it up. All right. Well, I think that's been episode 56 of the Polykill podcast. Thanks for joining us here. As always, rate us on things, iTunes or wherever you
follow
hear us.
Follow us on Spotify.
Follow us on Spotify now. That's really exciting. And
exciting.
Hit up that Facebook page. Maybe give it a diddle. We need a little love there.
A little diddle.
Polykill.com, where you can find stuff. CartridgeClub.org, short for organism. Orgasm. polykillpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send us all of your off-kilter stories, your close calls, your near deaths, near misses. And as always, we're on Twitter @polykill. See you next time. Peace.